God. Hello. Okay, in 4 minutes, I have to get his nuggets out of the oven.
Okay. So, want to chat about random other things on the live stream before we start the real show for 4 minutes?
What was I going to...
It is live streaming, though.
I know.
Yeah. Watch what you say.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm always so concerned. Well, because I'm not going to be giving out, I don't know, the secret codes.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. They just did and asked me to do this new authentication at work.
Okay.
And so it involved, they're doing certain things, adding certain security measures, which I actually think make a lot of sense. Okay. Right. But one that was interesting is that they're doing this new biometric one. Okay. And the biometric one required that I log in and I go into this app that I have to scan a QR code with my phone. It takes pictures of my face, but I also have to submit a valid ID, like my passport or my driver's license, okay, to validate my identity. Okay. And then they would.
And this is all for work.
And they, and then they checked that and then, you know, gave me the go ahead. Now, the one thing about this that wound up being. It's something that has happened to me repeatedly over the years, and it happened again. I, at work, my emails and everything are just Ivan Bo. And the reason I'm Ivan Bo is because in the United States, and actually a lot of, it's a lot simpler to me going by Ivan Bo than Ivan Bo Diaz. Okay? Even though I am Ivan Bo Diaz. Okay?
Yes,
but it's
yes.
just shorter. Okay? Honestly, even in Puerto Rico, I used it a lot as Ivan Bo. Okay? You know, even though my full name is Ivan
Bo Diaz. But there's a mismatch between your papers.
Oh, fuck yeah. So the first thing it flagged is, well, the HR records have you as Ivan Bo. Now, they had validated my identity before, because when you go in, they did this whole thing. I have to submit my password and everything. So they know that this information is correct. They said, well, okay, for this new system now, which I guess sometimes it's going to check my, it's going to look at my face to validate that it's me when I log into things, which is what it's looking like. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to change your name, HR. Fuck. I'm like, oh, man. Ugh, shit. So I went into the system and I supplied the stuff and I submitted and they approved it. The one thing that, so all of a sudden, now, thankfully, my email did not change. Okay. It's still Ivan.bou. But now, everywhere in the system, I'm Ivan Bo Diaz for everything now. And the one thing is that now, I usually have gone by initials as IB. Now, we've replaced the initials as ID. Diaz is not my first last name. And so, it's really weird now that I am ID. A lot of places, not IB. And I'm wondering how many people in the company are going to be confused when they're trying
At least it's not IBD for inflammatory bowel disease.
That would be, yeah. Or, yeah. I mean, so I would be happier with...
Did you get a lot of people asking you if you just got married?
No. So this is something that has been just like, fuck. But by the way, this is something that has repeatedly happened over the last 25 years, especially now with Real ID and all of this shit. It happened with my driver's license. I had to do that. It happened at my bank. Anyway, the nuggets are ready. Let me go get the nuggets.
Go get your nuggets. We'll start when you get back.
All right, let's roll. Okay. Ugh. Plus, to remember, today's Manu's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Manu. I did not remember. Here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, August 1st, 2026. It is just before 1730 UTC, just like literally seconds before. We're like right on the dot for 1730. If I keep yammering like this for a few more seconds, it will be 1730. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, 9 more seconds or so and I'll get there. So, you know, here we go. It is now 1730 UTC. That's very exciting. Anyway, I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Beau is here. This is yet another episode of Curmudgeon's Corner. And my dog is barking at somebody delivering something on the front yard. Fun stuff. Anyway, so we're going to do our usual. We're going to have lighter stuff at the beginning here and move into news towards the end. So Yvonne, in the cold open there, we talked about your ID. Any other light, fun stuff for the...
Sam, I have been first now... I've now traveled the last 3 straight weeks. Okay, which is one of the reasons why...
Were you on that, like, test Qantas flight that flew 24 hours straight?
I would have participated in that. If I had been offered...
Yeah.
If I had been say, hey, you want to try the 24-hour flight? Yeah. Hell yeah. Sign me up. I would have done that. That sounds like fun. Yeah. I mean, first of all, we're not going to be in a plane packed with like 350 people, okay? It's going to be a light load of people, number one, okay? So.
Well, and just to be clear, not just because it was a test flight. They have to pare down the passengers to have enough fuel
correct.
To do
yes.
that.
Yes. I mean, you know, you don't, you can't, you know, yeah. I mean, you really need to lighten the load. You know, first of all, the A350 is, I've flown on that airplane. It's very comfortable inside, number one. Second of all, because they've done all this stuff where they've improved the humidity levels on the airplane. And also, it is pressurized to a much lower altitude than other older aircraft.
Okay.
It's not as tiring a flight as on older generation aircraft.
What were the ends of this flight? Like, they went from Australia to the Middle East, right? I don't forget the exact cities or where.
I don't remember. No, I didn't see where they went. I know part of the whole reason about this whole thing about the launch, this flight that the testing they're doing is that they're trying to launch. They've been talking for decades now, nonstop service from Sydney and Melbourne to London. That's why Qantas has been doing that. Because that's like, you know, but the thing is, everybody keeps complaining that, well, it's going to be a 20 plus hour flight. But I've always said that these naysayers are missing the point. There's a lot of people that have to do that, and then they have to fucking change planes somewhere, making the trip 30 plus hours. So fuck it. Let's do it in one shot. The hell do I want to go and like have a goddamn stopover after flying 18 hours and then going another 6 or something? It just, no. I you know, it's better just to bite the bullet and fuck it.
I mean, I guess, if you wanted to make the most of that, you could, like, do an overnight stop and sort of recover. But that takes even longer, you know, if you're just trying to get there as fast as you can.
Just trying to, exactly. Now, here's the thing. I don't even know if, you know, Qantas has really, Dave played with the aircraft makers about this and then never bought the airplanes, even though they have been given aircraft before that can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boeing had launched the 777-200LR specifically targeting to do this. And they actually did test flights that showed that it would. But Qantas declined to do it. There was an A350 also before that I believe was capable of it. And that aircraft was used by Singapore Airlines for nonstop service from Singapore to New York, which that was the longest nonstop flight that there was for a long time.
How long was that? Like 18 or something?
It's close to 20 hours.
Okay.
I'm going to pull that list now, of course. Nonstop flights. Let's see. So the top 10. And actually, they are still doing it. They're doing it's still the longest. It is still New York Singapore. Okay, and they are, but they've replaced the aircraft that they're using for it. They're doing it on A350-900 ULR, which is it's a similar aircraft to the one they were testing. Okay.
Okay.
They did a specific version of the A350 to do that. They used to use an A340 that was specifically done for that route. Okay, and it's 9,537 nautical miles. It's 19 hours, the scheduled duration. And if I remember correctly, that aircraft also is, it has very little coach seating. It's basically made that, this is, you really don't want to cram people really tight in coach for 20 hours.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Like, even if you have like different levels within mm-hmm. the plane, which I'm sure they still do.
They do. They do.
If you're going to be on a plane for that long, you can't have people just crammed into like the little tiny economy seats. It's not going to go well.
It only has 170 seats. And that's a plane that can carry over 300 people, okay? So it's got only 170 seats, 67 business class seats, 94 premium economy seats. So basically, there are no coach seats.
Right.
Okay? Because, premium economy is actually slightly better than domestic first class, okay? I changed that. It's better than domestic first class. It's somewhere. So this is not a plane where people are going in there and getting cramped. Okay. But also, by the way, that reduces weight as well, which mm-hmm. helps be able to do this flight. I would have signed up. The next one is Qatar Airways does do one with the plane that Boeing had tried to sell them. To do this before, the 777-200LR, which Qatar has a number of those on their fleet. I've flown on their plane a couple of times. It's the Auckland to Doha nonstop, which is 9,032 miles, okay? 17 hours and 10 minutes, okay? Uh-huh. Now, the flight that Qantas is doing now, there is a nonstop from Australia to London, but only goes from Perth. Which Perth is far up in the northwest of Australia, so that makes that a lot shorter distance.
Right, because you think it's Australia, but Australia is a freaking continent.
Huge.
It's like you're on the other side of the continent, makes a difference to your flight time.
Oh, yeah, big time, yeah. And they're doing that from Perth to London on a 787-9, and that's 9,009 miles, not nautical miles. Yeah, 9,009 miles, yeah. Earlier I said nautical miles. The distances I quoted earlier are actual miles, not nautical miles. I'm sorry, because that's a big difference. 9,537 miles to New York to Singapore, 9,032 miles Auckland to Doha, and Perth to London is 9,009 miles. And that's 17 hours and 30 minutes. Yeah, let's see. I think I have been on, let's see, what are the longest flights? What is the longest one that I've been here that's on this list? I see. I think it was Dallas to Hong Kong, which is actually only 24th on this list. Okay, 8,123 miles. I've done that I've done that one. Is the other ones are Dubai to Houston? Let's see. I'll go from the top 20. Okay, Perth to Rome. Okay, on Qantas, 8,298 miles. Dallas to Brisbane, okay, which that's, again, is further up north in Australia, so it makes a big difference in terms of distance. 8,303 miles, okay. Let's see, what do we got here? Then a whole bunch of flights to L.A., whether it's from Dubai, Jeddah, or Doha to Los Angeles, those are all about 8,300 miles. Different airlines fly that one. This is one that's always been long, and it actually, I realized the other day, and I hadn't noticed this. You know, South African Airways is out of business. They don't really exist anymore in the way that we remember them 20 years ago. They had a very big 747 fleet, flew all over. That airline went bankrupt and is kaput. But a Delta flies Johannesburg to Atlanta, okay? And it used to be that, especially because of all the restrictions related to apartheid, South African had some of the longest routes in the world for many years. Because basically, a lot of countries didn't let them fly there, so they had to, you know, do some very circuitous routes to get to places.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like that. So that was a thing, and they had a fleet of 747s for that. Let's see. Next is Dallas to Sydney. I've not done that. L.A. to Singapore. I flew to Singapore. Now I flew from Doha. I flew from Doha, and I can't remember. I did not do New York to Auckland, New Zealand, Perth to Paris to Goal, Dallas to Melbourne, Australia, 9,000 miles. Okay. And then the ones that I mentioned before. So, yeah. So
Yvonne, you know. I know when you officially retire, you mm-hmm. must take on a challenge.
Challenge to complete this list. Yes, I like this.
Complete the top 25 list, but not only complete the top 25. But in a record-setting pace to complete all 25 in as short a time period as possible.
Listen, if I'm retired, I could take on that challenge. I like this challenge. I'll go and I'll just go like nonstop, one to the next, to the next, to the next. You know what I'm saying? I'll just fucking go. You just say fuck it. Just go for broke. And, you know, I'll try to see the sequence where I'm like, okay, great. I went L.A. to Singapore. Okay, great. I'm in Singapore. What's the next? Okay, Singapore to San Francisco. Fuck it. Let's go. Next flight. Boom. You know,
exactly.
Get there.
You know, talk to Guinness before you start. They can be tracking you for the world record. Know what the current world record is, because there probably is one, you know, and then go.
This is, I like this challenge. This is, this sounds great. I love this. So matter of fact, you know what we could do? If somehow we figure out how to get sponsors for shit and stuff, is to have that sponsored. So
well,
we can blog.
That's the kind of thing I'm pretty sure. You could probably get sponsored by the airlines
The airlines.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So.
I'm like, guys, listen, I'm going for broke. Fuck it. I'm going to see how the hell I complete the top 25 longest routes in the world.
Right. There you go.
Let's go. Come on. We can do this.
Okay. Now, before I hijacked this by just saying, had you been on the 24-hour flight, you were starting to just say you'd been flying a lot lately.
I've been, listen, 3 straight weeks that I've been going. This is why I couldn't last week. I was in the Bahamas. Let me just say, listen, the cell coverage over the data coverage and cell coverage, also the power was flaky. Okay. All right. Everything was flaky over there. All right. So that was an issue. Okay. Then I was in El Salvador. Okay. I had a lot of talk about the Bukele situation with a lot of the locals, by the way. All right. Which we could talk about that in the
okay,
politics.
Okay, elaborate, because I know nothing. I know nothing. Go for it.
Well, I mean, look, he's been in power now for 7 years. And look, he is very much Putin style. That is his MO. He came in and took over a situation where the security was shit, okay, and the economy was crap, and he fixed that. But he's done it in a way that one person confessed to me.
Back up just a tad, just to specify, because I had to look it up to make sure I knew what I was talking about. Bukele is the current president of El Salvador since 2019.
Yes. Yes, 7 years now, yeah.
And so, okay, give a little bit of history and then the current situation.
Well, you got to remember that for a very long time, El Salvador, going back to like shit, remember all the Iran-Contra shit and everything all the way back then, El Salvador was a country that was ravaged by, you know, there were paramilitary groups going all over the place. There was a lot of violence. There were gangs. The country was not safe, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was also a place where turf war for a long time in between, you know, part of Cold War and how Central America was part of it, you know, with Nicaragua being on one side of the communists and us trying to, and we propped up a lot of dictators in the area as well, and our paramilitary groups, and gave them a lot of weapons. And that caused for a long time that the security situation in El Salvador was horrible. It's one of the reasons why the United States received quite a lot of migrants from El Salvador, and why we gave asylum to a lot of people because of the violence in El Salvador, the gangs and all these things. And look, that election came 7 years ago where Bukele took power. One of the things they were telling me about it is that his father was somebody that was a centrist and actually a leftist, before. And he has come in, and the main thing that he's done, it's just like Putin. What he did is provide safety and stability for most people in their daily lives at a cost of a lot of repression and elimination of certain liberties. Okay. But the reality is that for certain people, like one guy was explaining to me, it was just this lady that she met that her son was murdered. And how nobody had ever arrested the people that murdered her son. But Bukele came into power and they arrested and threw that guy into freaking Secot, And so you ask that lady, I'm like, hey, how do you want to live? You want to live like the old way where you feared like even just walking the street? Or is this? And so people are like, I mean, they can't fathom going back to the level of insecurity that happened in the past, where the murder rate in El Salvador is one of the worst in the world, where people never felt safe anywhere. And it reminded me of, we talked about how when they toppled Saddam,
right?
How the Iraqis, in many ways, many of them were like, "Damn it, we were better off with Saddam."
After a while. Yeah, it took a while for them to get to that point.
It took
point,
a while.
But yes.
But they did. And it was because of the chaos and the insecurity and the violence that ensued afterwards. Because even though, and this is how a lot of these people wind up getting into power. They wind up, they were telling me that actually the previous presidents actually used the insecurity to their advantage and politically. Okay, because they controlled all the paramilitary groups and the gangs. So that's the way that they were able to maintain power. So what Bukele has done is flipped the script, and he's decided, I'm going to use the Putin script. I'm going to use the security as the way for me to get power. The roads are going to be paved. The airports are going to be new. How we made that, who knows? We're probably borrowing billions and nobody will know until the economy blows up, because there's no transparency on any of it. But the thing is that, look, the repression is real. This guy who has been a cab driver told me that he was part of he had a medallion to be able to pick up people at the airport, through a transport union. And that one day he gets to the airport and the airport administrator grabbed all the people that had the transport licenses at the airport and said, well, We just got a call from the president, and there's a new rule related to these. If they find that any of you say anything bad about the president, you're going to lose your medallion. Straight up, simple as that. Criticize the president, lose your medallion. And a lot of people talked about how that is the way it is, like right now. But that the one thing is that so many people were so fed up by how things were before that they are willing to tolerate this right now, because the way it was before for most people was worse. Yes, I have my freedom of expression, but how am I living my freedom of expression if, I walk out my house and I'm going to get fucking murdered and robbed?
Well, I mean, this trade-off has been, it's a famous trade-off, right? I mean, there's the Benjamin Franklin quote, right? Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And you can argue whether Franklin was right, but I mean, the fundamental fact that there is a trade-off there, I mean, this is one of the appeals of, fascist governments and authoritarian governments in general is one, they can give you, they can give the approved groups security and safety.
Right.
And they also, another standard thing is they can get things done faster because you don't have all this messy democratic debate and having to build consensus and all that crap. Someone just decides what to do and does it.
Right.
And these two things together are like a big part of the appeal. And you can understand why in certain cases. And like, you know, I nodded to like some of the downsides. Usually it isn't safety for everybody. It is safety for a specific subgroup that is in favor. If nothing else, it's safety for the people who are willing to conform, you know, but most generally, it's wider than that.
And, you know, if you actively oppose them, you're going to wind up dead.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Or
jailed in inhumane conditions.
Right.
Yes.
And just to be clear, when I said wider than that, I meant the out group is usually wider than that. In like the narrowest cases, it's just the people who actively oppose the regime. But in most cases worldwide, they're disfavored ethnic minorities. They're disfavored religions. There's, you know, they certainly tend not to like LGBTQ type folks. And there are all kinds of, you know, out groups, some often women more generally, you know, and if you are in that favored group, and sometimes the favored group is very small. It's like wealthy landowners or something, you know, it really depends. But, you know, if you were in the favored group, you can definitely see, oh, okay. Everything's nice now. This is actually better for me. If you happen not to be in that group, you're less happy.
You know, the thing is that there are very few leaders that are like Joe Biden. Or I'll bring an example, Jose Mujica, who is the president of Uruguay.
Okay.
Uruguay right now in the Americas is one of the safest, most developed nations in the Americas. Okay. Strong economy, broad security, broad democracy, all the things that you really want in a democracy.
Okay.
And the thing is that the President Mujica was one of the humblest people that you had ever met. This is a guy who did not go to be president to enrich himself. He lived, his house was, I mean, a shack. And he refused to move to the presidential palace. He gave away about 90% of his monthly salary to help poor people. And it's not like the President Trump's giving away of the salary where he is making all this money. He literally drove, and I saw the pictures, a 1987 Volkswagen Beetle.
Nice. Was it yellow?
No, I can't remember. I think it was like green, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Yeah. Blue.
It was blue.
He helped pass laws to make abortion legal. He passed laws to allow same-sex marriage. He made Uruguay the first nation to control and sell recreational marijuana. I mean, and this guy spent 15 years locked up as a guerrilla. But this guy brought the nation together, and he did it not to make himself rich, but to make everybody's lives better. Everybody's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but Joe Biden was the same way, and he tried very hard, and he got treated like shit. Fortunately, this guy was not treated like shit by his people. He was revered.
Okay.
And which is why Uruguay right now is one of the strongest democracies there is. As a matter of fact, I keep seeing a lot of places recommending, hey, if you want to retire, you know, a nice retirement for Americans that want to go abroad, one of the recommendations is Uruguay, definitely. And I let me tell you something. And it is appealing. I'll tell you what.
It's one of the places the ex-Nazis went, right?
No, you're thinking Paraguay.
Paraguay. I mean, and Argentina, right? But I thought Otto was a little bit Uruguayan.
Probably someone to Uruguay.
Probably all
well,
over
not
South
as much.
America, let's say.
But yeah, but there were a lot in Brazil and they were in Paraguay. But the most famous really is more Paraguay, not Uruguay.
Okay. Got it.
Paraguay is completely different from Uruguay.
They
Paraguay
both end in Guay.
I know.
It should be similar. That's how it works, right?
I know. You're doing the same thing as I did with what was the African nation I went and I...
On MapTap?
No. This was on a quiz that I had. I never forget. Well, I was in eighth grade in my geography class, and they go with Africa. And, like, I'm terrible at African countries. And the problem also with African countries is that over the years, they change a lot. It's not very static. There's been quite a lot of changes. Countries
there
that were there, countries
changes.
That disappeared, and so there's a lot of it is an area that a lot of geography has changed
and,
a lot
and,
in the last 40
and there's
years.
Like on the order of 50 of them as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, and there's a lot of countries. So I still remember that there was. Let me see. I think right. It doesn't exist anymore. There was a Republic of Upper Volta.
Upper Volta.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but which is now Burkina Faso. Okay, since 1984. You see, this is the confusing shit. And so, all right. So, but here's the thing about this. I knew I was doing this quiz, and I was like, "There's an Upper Volta," and then I thought,
"Lower
and
Volta."
I'm like, missing. Good.
I remember
right.
this story. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, fuck. I mean, if there's shit. I mean, I'm like, I know it asked me the name. I don't know how many countries in Africa. I'm running short on this list, and I'm like, fuck. Well, if there's an Upper Volta, there's got to be a Lower Volta. Well, there is no Lower Volta. Why the fuck? Then I keep going. Why the fuck did you name it Upper Volta anyway? If there's no Lower Volta,
there is a Lower Volta bridge.
Well, yeah, but not a country though.
It is a Lower Volta bridge.
But not a country.
It was constructed in 1965 through 1967 by German contractors. Over the decades, it suffered from poor maintenance and increasing traffic,
okay.
Making it dangerous for drivers.
Did it collapse at some point?
By 2009, locals were calling it a death trap, with concerns over rusting joints and deteriorating sealants. In 2013, there was an appeal by the residents nearby of Skogopi to the Ghana Highway Authority. So Lower Volta, the Lower Volta Bridge, by the way, is not in Upper Volta, apparently.
Oh, it's that's even more confusing.
It's in Ghana to repair the rusting expansion contraction. Despite calls for repairs, only minor fixes were made. The bridge's structural integrity continued to decline. In 2018, the government promised repairs, but reports in 2019 showed ongoing accidents with motorcyclists being the primary victims. After a local politician's murder in 2020, protests erupted with residents blocking the bridge. The Ghana government is planning to build a new cable-stayed bridge to be started in 2021. Obviously, this information is out of date.
But the bridge has not collapsed yet.
Apparently not.
Okay.
So.
Okay, but that's more even that's even more confusing.
Anyway, we somehow got on this from you've been traveling a lot.
And I'm traveling next week and maybe the other week. And I'm like, I don't know. This doesn't stop.
I will mention one thing. This episode that we are recording right now is episode 999 of this podcast. So that means next
Whoa!
Week is episode 1000.
Wow.
I have in my head something I want to prepare special for the beginning of the show.
Fireworks? A drone show?
Yes, fireworks, the drone show. Indeed, you know, ritual sacrifice of a goat. I don't know.
You know, I did mention this. You know, we're talking about ritual sacrifices that in El Salvador, that, you know, there's a lot of volcanoes. Okay.
Okay.
So I asked the customer to see if, you know, it was part of the contract negotiation, whether we just needed to, you know, offer some human sacrifices over at the top of the volcano. They didn't say no.
Okay. Well, that works. You know, a good way to seal a deal, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be in a unique, innovative way to seal the deal.
Right. Okay, we've gone a long time. So let me just do one movie instead of two.
Okay.
Okay. From 1976, the original Rocky.
Ah!
Now, I had seen this before. This is in the AFI list, but this time watching it last September was not from the AFI list. I'd seen it from the AFI list. We'll see it from the new AFI list again when we get to it. I don't remember how this came up exactly, but we watched the original Rocky, and honestly, like, surprisingly good.
Yeah,
you know,
it is a good movie.
It is a good movie. It won a yeah. bunch of awards. And the thing that keeps getting, like, I've learned this several times and forgotten it several times, but Stallone wrote the damn thing.
Yes, he did.
You know,
he wrote the damn thing.
You think of Stallone as like his character, sort of like a dumb guy, you know?
A dumb rube, yeah. But no, he wrote the damn thing.
He wrote it and was apparently a major part in, like, the whole process of making this into a movie.
By the way, they made a documentary.
I was about to mention the documentary. Isn't it about to come out, or did it already come out?
I'm not sure if it came out, but I know that it was about either.
Oh, a documentary. No, there's the new one that's coming out is a biopic. It's a movie about the making of Rocky.
That's right. Yes.
I saw like a preview for it recently, and I was like, oh, yeah, that actually looks kind of cool. I kind of want to watch that.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I am thinking about seeing that now.
So yeah, like, but no, Rocky's actually a good movie. And you know, I've only ever, we have now subsequently seen Rocky II. So I have seen Rocky II, but I have not yet made it past Rocky II in the series. Because I know there's like, I don't know, 12 movies now, including the Creed ones. You know, it's a big, long series now. So I you know, I don't know how it deteriorates or not, but like the first movie is pretty damn good, you know? And you feel for this guy, you feel for his girlfriend, you know, it's not just about the boxing. It's about their relationships and what they're doing and going on.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, it won Best Picture on Oscar. I mentioned it's on the AFI list. The AFI list, let me just double check where Rocky was on this. It was number 78 in the 1998 ranking, but it moved up to 57 in the 2007 ranking. But yeah, it won Best Picture, it won Best Director at Academy Awards. It was nominated for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actors, Best Original Screenplay. It won for film editing as well. It was nominated for Best Original Song and Best Sound. It won some British Film Awards too. It won a Best Picture for Golden Globes as well, and was nominated for a bunch of others. I mean, thumbs up. It was a good movie. If you had to predict, Sam, will you like a boxing themed movie? The answer would be no.
No,
but Rocky was good.
Rocky was a good movie. Yes, Rocky was a good movie, not a good sports movie. It was a good movie.
Right.
It just happened to have boxing.
It just happened to have boxing. Like, you know, and I've seen a couple other movies that were had boxing as a major part of their theme and was not as impressed. This was really well done.
And again, it was a really well done movie.
And again, like every time, because it just doesn't match his image. Every time you hear about like how much this movie was really just Stallone making this thing happen.
Look, it's
impressive.
And his politics lately drive me crazy. But, you know, but look, he made a couple of really good films. When you consider both. Because it's kind of interesting how the franchises turned into action franchises, but first movies weren't. Because the same thing with his movie First Blood.
And I'll say, like, I haven't gotten to mentioning it on here yet, but we have watched First Blood as well to start off that series. And I agree. It was also good. And not like, you know.
And it's not, that wasn't really there was action and violence in it, but that wasn't the focus of
the
movie.
First Blood was about like PTSD from a war veteran.
PTSD, yes. That's what it was about, yes. And how we treated veterans when they came back home. Yes, that was the key theme.
Right. And so, yeah. So, I don't know. So, you know, give Stallone his props. He did good.
Yeah. He did good. Yeah. When he sat down to do those movies, he really did a very good job. And they weren't some jock or action movie, whatever. Now, the fact that the franchise turned into that later, because that was the way to make money, it's a right. different thing. But definitely, those two first movies were really well-made movies. So.
Indeed. Okay, with that, let's take a break. And this should have been a wiki of the day, but I didn't bother preparing it. So instead, it's another one. Let's see, this one. And then we'll be back and we'll talk about the news of the week. Back after this.
Back after this.
Alex and the West. .com, being Alex and Dad. Gaming videos and more from Alex. Elementary school by day. YouTube by night. AlexMZilla.com. AlexMZilla is AlexMXELA. And .com is period and then COM.
I will mention that yesterday, last night, for some homework assignment for school, rather than answer the question that was actually asked, Alex submitted a transcript of an episode from his channel that he published in 2021, but was recorded in 2016. Now, don't give him any ideas. Like, he can't hear that. Like, don't give me any idea. No, it was an episode from his channel from 2021, and I'm sure the teacher will much appreciate that. And you know, it's got him and his sister bantering about a video game. Again, he published it in 2021.
Sure, we'll get a very high grade.
But it was recorded when he was 2016, so when he was 7. So yeah, I'm sure the teacher will enjoy. Anyway, where do you want to start news-wise? It hasn't really been a really big news week, although we've had a few things going on.
Come on, are you kidding me? There's a whole bunch of shit going on.
There's a whole bunch of shit, but there's not like one big dominating thing. There's lots of little things. Go ahead, pick one.
Let me pick one. Pick one. Oh, let me see. I don't know. I gotta look. I gotta think. It's overrated bad. These days. Is overrated.
I can see the smoke coming from the top of your head.
Let's see. What do we got? Well, let's talk about... This is a late-breaking.
Late-breaking.
And we got... what happened to the prosecution of the guy with that vandalized a reflecting pool? What happened?
They shot him in the head.
They did the public square execution. Horse.
No, in the reflecting pool.
In the reflecting pool.
They had to take him to the scene of the crime, do the public execution. You don't want blue for the reflecting pool? Let's try red.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no. Of course, it's... Not only is it gone... It's gone because the Department of Justice themselves came and said, okay, it wasn't him. The people, the contractors screwed it up. That's what was wrong. And now...
Was Trump happy about this?
Just in the last couple hours, I think even since we've been on here some more, Donald Trump has indeed been ranting about how... He disagrees with Jeannie Perillo, by the way, who is the specific...
Is that her name?
Is that
I thought it was Pirro. Is it Pirro?
You're probably Pirro right. Pirro? You're probably Pirro. It's got R's.
I don't know. I actually, now that you made me doubt this,
Pirro. P-I-R-R-O.
Yeah, okay. Jeannie Pirro. That's what I thought. It was Pirro. Yeah, not Perillo. I'm like, what the hell?
Insert extra syllables whenever I feel like it. It is my God-given right.
Well, you know, shit. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Plus, anyway, I mean, Jeannie Pirro, who is now serving as, you know, the U.S. Attorney Janine. Okay.
Okay. There you go.
You're going to drag me over the coals about getting people's names right, Mr. Irritable Bowel Disease or whatever your initials were. You know, so anyway, he is saying that she was mistaken and she should not have done this. And there are obviously bad folks at play doing bad things to the reflecting pool. And he posted as proof the letter, the 8647 that was put into the White House, not the White House lawn, but the lawn in the park by the White House. Because, of course, that's part of the reflecting pool, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, no, obviously it was miscreants. And they shouldn't have let this guy go. And and Ms. Pirro here probably doesn't have too much longer left in her job, I would imagine.
Yeah, you think?
I don't know. He may let her slide for a little while, but you know, she's clearly not going to be on his good side now for a while.
Plus, she's a woman. He basically, his pattern right now is, I notice how the incompetent men keep staying in their jobs, but not the women.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know. There was no other, the only thing surprising about the developments here is that the DOJ actually initiated it rather than the judge dismissing it out of hand.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the one thing. I expected it to be dismissed, but all of a sudden, I definitely did not expect the DOJ to be, well, okay, you know, yeah.
Now, to be fair, in a bunch of other cases, they have done similar. There have been a whole bunch of cases in a whole bunch of places across the country where they've indicted people, like the most prevalent, I think, are people who are protesting against ICE, who are picked up for like obstruction and various things. Most of those, not all, there have been some that have gone to trial and some that have even been convicted, but most of them have ended up quietly dismissed a few weeks later, you know, by DOJ themselves or whichever authority was trying to go after them, saying, you know, never mind. We actually don't have any evidence against them, you know, or it doesn't reach to the level of a crime or whatever. And most of those have sort of gone quietly. And again, some have gone the distance and some people have even been convicted. Most of those, like the one that got the most publicity a couple weeks ago was one where the protesters actually did get violent. They actually did assault the police officer with some sort of weapon. I forget what it was. And, the police officer ended up okay, whatever. But, you know, there actually was violence, which is very different than, you know, the protesters who are just, you know, videoing and making noise and yelling at them to go away and stuff like that. So. Okay. What's the current state of the reflecting pool, by the way? It's still like drained and they're redoing it, right?
Well, I mean, right now it looks like shit. I mean, it looks like shit.
Right. But it'll be ready for July 4th.
Of which year?
Oh, wait, have we already passed July 4th? Oops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't
know. It will be ready, I'm sure, for some July 4th. Not sure which.
Well, you know, Donald Trump could say, screw it, and like, you know, put up the, you know, little lawn umbrellas and tables like he did with the Rose Garden.
Oh, God.
It becomes...
You think he'll just fill it up with
the
cement?
The reflecting plaza.
Ah. Well, that might be...
Make it an actual mirror instead of water. That'll solve the problem.
make it a mirror. Or, you know what? Listen, you remember those in the Looney Tunes cartoons where they would paint a fake tunnel hole
Would crash there, into there was a wall? Story just within the last few weeks of some lady who actually crashed
somebody
her car
drive, into one. Literally driving into one of those. Yeah. So how about we just paint a fake, like, thing, like, so it looks like the reflecting pool is there, but it's just a fake painting of it.
Well, that's his problem. He put down the blue, but then he put water back in. Why did he do that? Just leave the blue.
Right. No. Yeah. No. What you do is that you cover it up in cement.
Oh, and then paint the reflection of the Washington Monument.
Correct.
So
yeah.
From the right angle, it looks like it should.
Right.
Yeah. Those, like, there are people who do like sidewalk paintings like that, that are really, really cool. Of course, the trick is you have to be at the exact right angle or you can't, it looks.
Details. But, you know.
You guide all the pedestrians so they can only access it from that angle.
Exactly. Right.
There you go. I don't know. Whatever. And some of the Gilded Horses did premiere this week as well. Like.
We got Golden Horses.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what our forefathers were thinking when they were declaring independence from the monarchy, that we needed golden horses.
Yeah.
That's what they were thinking, right? I'm sure.
I'm sure. Okay. Shall we move on? At this point, like, all of these kinds of things, I'm honestly coming back towards, it's actually better if he's spending his time worrying about this kind of crap than doing other things that could be more.
Fair.
I mean, he does both. He does both. But like the more time he spends
on this shit, the better for the world.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, yeah. I mean, as bad as like.
No. I agree with you. I think you're right. I mean, we should encourage him to do more of this.
And I've heard at least some reporting that his staff is actually intentionally doing that in some cases, is like trying to keep him busy with this stuff so they can manage the other stuff that actually matters more. Now, they're not doing things I would like with the other stuff that matters more anyway, but they're still, anyway. Okay. How about Fauci?
All right.
Can we do Fauci next?
Yeah.
So they had Fauci come to a Senate hearing, and he pled the fifth to everything, which must mean that he is guilty and everything about COVID was his fault. He personally made COVID in a lab. It's not just a lab leak. Fauci himself created it, released it, et cetera. Yep. He belongs in jail for sure.
This thing, first of all, Fauci did the right thing by taking the fifth and deciding not to answer any questions. Because the problem is that, as he said in his opening statement, the whole point of this exercise was to try to entrap him in some way into saying something that they could try to hang a prosecution around him. And so the way that you disable that is by basically, you know what? I take the fifth. And I won't answer any questions. Simple as that. You don't even give him the fucking opportunity. Plain and simple. That's the first thing. The second thing is
some of them, by the way, tried to argue that because Biden had given him, had done a preemptive pardon on his last day of office or whatever, that the fifth didn't apply. But the pardon only...
That's correct. That covers previous acts. The pardon only applied...
Yes. But if he lied now, that would be a new act. And, exactly. Of course, what they were trying to get at, and what all perjury traps are about, are trying to get you to say something that you just trip up. You misremember something slightly. You say something that was correct about your belief but was not actually true. You know, things that are not an intentional lie per se, but are disagree with something enough that you can make a case of it. And we've also seen in the Trump administration, we were just talking about the stupid reflecting pool thing. They are very willing to engage in a prosecution that is unlikely to survive to a conviction just to harass you. So
and Comey and all these other people. Yeah. So no, he did exactly the right thing. The second thing is that the senator from Kentucky, the one not that apparently is not, I guess, medically proven to be brain dead at this. I mean, maybe he is brain dead.
Hey, McConnell's getting better.
Oh, he is?
That's what I've heard.
Oh, okay. The senator from Kentucky that was present at the hearing is Rand Paul's an abominable human being.
Now, the one thing I'll give him, and we've given him props before for being consistent on certain issues, and you know, his anti-war views tend to be pretty consistent. His anti-surveillance stuff, like he's consistent on some core libertarian principles.
Yeah, he's a consistent fucking asshole when it comes to to Anthony Fauci and the bullshit that he tried to pull on him. Yes, he is very consistent.
I saw there was one person, oh God, which I can't remember which talking head show I was listening to, but somebody described Rand Paul as the latest in a family of loons. And mentioned his father, Ron Paul, as well. And, and how Rand Paul was carrying on the family legacy of...
Carrying the torch.
And by the way, I just recently, within the last few months, happened to come an episode of the Ron Paul podcast. And was like, oh, wow, he's still around. He's still alive.
Wait, he is?
Yes, apparently so. I mean... He's old, but
okay.
I'm checking his, he is age 90.
Wow.
But really? and yeah, he is born in Pittsburgh, by the way. Ron Paul, not Rand, but anyway.
All right.
Anyway, Rand Paul in this, I'm not going to state, you know, his humanity, but certainly in this particular area, he has been absolutely unhinged in his COVID-related stuff.
Now, the reason I'm saying about his humanity is what he did with his diary and how they managed to be able to make that public.
Well, it was apparently written on government machines, right?
I'm not sure.
I think that's where part of it came. They called it a diary, but it was notes taken on government systems. I didn't dive too deep into this, but I believe they were compiled. It was not like one cohesive document to produce the diaries. They combined notes from all over the place.
Well, so it's even worse.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, the thing is that, you know, you go and you do a compilation of everything that he took notes on during his job and just dumped it like that. And then the one thing is that obviously they compiled it. So, you know, it allows for manipulation of it as well.
Let me just caveat before we get too much deeper that my description of these are based on hearing something in some of the talking heads talking about this a few days ago, and I did not dive into or really dig into exactly the provenance of all these documents, and I could be wrong. There you go.
Okay, so, yeah. So, no, yeah, they were his notes, but it was the source. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. confirmed that his team extracted these digital documents from 11 separate government servers where they were stored.
There you go.
And then but the thing is that, again, these guys went and compiled. It's like looking through everything I've written down and then compile it. So, well, it obviously is open for a lot of manipulation.
Well, it's open for manipulation, but even so, the stuff that they revealed doesn't reveal anything damning at all. It's all
at all.
This is very similar to like the what were they, the Twitter files or whatever they were back then.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like that. Yeah, exactly.
It's where you same know shit. you are revealing some of the notes of the back and forth of a professional actually doing their job and doing it well and thinking about the things they're supposed to be thinking about. Yeah, there are a couple of notes where he's like, oh man, isn't it so cool I get to meet celebrities now? I'd be saying the same damn thing. You know, this is not like me being all full of myself, but if I like, you know, hell, you know, on this show, I've talked about how I, because of my wife's job, I've gotten to meet a bunch of politicians that I would not have mentioned otherwise, you know, and it's like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I'd mention that kind of stuff. But for the most part, it shows a proper deliberative process. And it does show the fact that, hey, guess what? As we went from the very beginning of this to a few months in to a couple years in, we learned stuff. In the first few months, we thought some things that turned out to be false later. We made some calls that were the best based on the information we had at the time, but turned out, once we had a lot more information, we could have done something better or different. Or we did a few things that were useless. We even did a few things that were counterproductive.
By the way, nothing in there showed that he created a bioweapon and enabled its release at the lab.
No, I made that stuff up at the beginning.
No, I know you did. No, but I'm confirming the fact that in these documents, nothing of the sort.
No, and even with the sort of lab leak stuff, there's nothing new here with that either, because what it shows, which I believe is still the case today, which is you can't rule out any of the major causes. There's just not, you can't rule out that it was a lab leak. It might have been. You can't rule out that it evolved in naturally in the wet markets. And there are a couple of
but the one thing that you can rule out is that Anthony Fauci intentionally like intentionally went and like decided to develop some kind of fucking bioweapon that was released out in the wild.
Well,
in any way, shape, or form.
Even in the lab leak scenario, it's a lab leak scenario. It's a lab that was doing research and something went wrong. There is absolutely nobody is even talking about the idea of anything intentional being done. And so, yes. And look, there's so many, I saw a lot of people this week talking about, I can't believe we're talking about this again.
Well, you know why we're talking about it again.
Go, yes.
Because the Epstein files are still out there. You do realize, right? And it's still not resolved. And if you think that's bullshit, let me tell you, I got another story for you. But, you know, that is, you've got a war and you've got the Epstein files. It's still not going. You got Todd Blanche over there trying to get a Senate nomination. So how do we distract from everything? Let's talk about Fauci and COVID. How about that, huh? Yeah. Let's bring our base. Let's do something that we're bringing our base back, baby, because Trump's approval rating keeps dropping like a rock.
Right. Yeah. And look, and I don't know if this is, again, it's like a lot last week when you weren't here, I talked about Trump harping on communism and how that was sort of landing flat. I feel like this is another area that tends to land flat, because it's like look, there are a lot of people out there who are still mad about how COVID went down, because whether or not best decisions that could have been made at the time, blah, 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 whether or not any of that happened, they personally had a bad time during COVID and so still associate negative things for it. And somehow, by the way, they don't remember that Donald Trump was president when it happened.
That is the biggest problem, isn't it? Right?
Yes.
Who the fuck was the president?
Yes. Well, to be fair, the absolute highest peak did happen in the first months of the Biden presidency. But a lot of the initial
growth, the peak in deaths.
Wasn't even the peak of deaths like Delta or whatever right after Biden took over?
Let me see. Hold
on. Okay. Now we're going to go back and look up the damn COVID numbers.
Oh, fuck you. Jesus Christ. The hell.
I have my old spreadsheet I used to like put out drafts of. I don't know if I can find it quick enough, though. You can probably find it online faster than I can find my spreadsheet.
What I'm doing.
Trailing 7 days peak in deaths worldwide and U.S. Tell us both. Well, you
hang on, hang on.
Okay, we're hanging. We're hanging.
We're having to use. Okay, winter 2020-2021 was the deadliest wave. The absolute peak of the pandemic occurred in January 2021. He's still president. January 2021.
Well,
recording over 105,000 deaths in a single month.
I forget days. Like, what's that? What's the actual
December 2020 and February 2021?
February 2021. There you go.
Also exceeded 80,000 deaths. But let's be clear about this. It was, for the most part, still Trump's. It was one month really of Biden.
I'm looking at a full daily death chart, daily 7 week average, not 7 week, a data point every day, looking at the previous 7 days, the absolute peak is right around the transition from Trump to Biden. And I can't on this scale tell you the exact day, but it's damn close. But like it continued to go quite a long way into Biden's presidency. But the point is, the mishandling that caused it to be worse than it needed to be was 100% during the Trump presidency. What Biden did was actually start the actions. Let me not overstate this. Vaccinations started during Trump back in the days where he was still for vaccination, and that made a big difference.
Well, actually, he swings back and forth to be pro and against.
He
remembers, I was Operation Warp Seed.
And all that.
Right.
And then the Biden administration, he was already dealing with the tail. Like, it was already, but the thing we pin Donald Trump on is the fact that his way of handling it was, hey, maybe we shouldn't test because the numbers look bad. Hey, what about, like, I heard bleach was good. How about dewormer?
UV light up your ass.
The UV light. Yeah, and basically consistently doing things that were unhelpful. Not just like, hey, like the argument against the Fauci stuff, which was also during the Trump presidency, just to be clear, the beginning of it, was somebody trying to do the best they possibly could with the information they had and sometimes succeeding and sometimes falling a little bit short, usually because the information just wasn't there yet and they had to do the best they had. Whereas the Trump approach was, what will make me look better in the next 24 hours? Or what
Sam,
little thing can get through my brain? Because I didn't understand what they were saying about the UV light. So let me just, like, let's stick a UV light bulb up them and see if that helps. And nobody took that seriously, but he heard something that was actually real with somebody talking about the virus and how it reacted to UV light when it was out on a surface or something like that. And then he just translated that into something else in an offhanded statement that he only made once, by the way. But still, like...
Okay, still! I mean... It was the president of the United States talking to the American people about what the fuck to do about COVID. And it included statements like about injecting bleach, using horse dewormer, fucking goddamn sticking UV lights up your ass. Sam!
I think he wanted you to swallow the UV light, actually.
Something. Whichever way.
Or,
some orifice is going to get a fucking
tooth. Breathe it, maybe? Like, so it's in
something,
your lungs?
Who knows?
And anyway... But no, and this is why one of the things that came out of the diary is Fauci talking about how much of an idiot Donald Trump was.
And who could disagree about this?
Yeah, I mean, And you could tell. And again, this isn't particularly new. If you look at the video of some of the press conferences.
Oh my God, look at his face! Was he standing behind Trump? I mean, he wants to fucking like blow his brains out.
You know, he would. You could see him shaking his head. You could see him looking down, you know, because of the nonsense that was coming out of there. But, you know, and look, people are fundamentally upset of like, I saw another little skit somebody did on TikTok. It's like, you're upset with Fauci because he made you stay locked down for months. And then it's like, did you actually do that? Did you stay locked up for months?
Right.
No.
Right.
You're upset because he made you wear a mask? Did you wear a mask? No. No, of course I didn't.
I mean,
you know, we had in the U.S., we never had a lockdown even approaching what they had in many other countries. Like, even
not even remotely close.
Even when there was talk of it, like, you know, people were still going out. People were still doing stuff. We had the whole thing where we're like, oh, you don't have to wear masks in restaurants anymore because, like, you can't eat with a mask, which, of course, like, you know, other places still had the restaurants shut down because of that exact reason.
Right.
You know? And, yeah, well, if I still come back to, like, you know, we could have had a better overall experience being even harsher with things. But people are, you know, it's human nature. People don't like to be told what to do. People don't like to be given advice. And I've said before, a big part of this, especially after the first little bit, it became clear that the most important stuff was not about protecting yourself. It was protecting others from you. From, you know, when you potentially were not yet showing symptoms, but were infectious, and you wouldn't even know.
You know,
and
here's a reality.
And people don't
fuck
want
those
that.
People, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck those. You know, immunocompromised? Fuck you. Go die. Don't bother me, man. You know, come on. You know, the one guy I still like laugh about.
And if
about
anybody
his
wants
death.
To hear us talk over and over and over at length about this, go back and listen to any episode from 2020, 2021, 2022. We talked about COVID practically every single week at length.
Hey, Sam, but there is no funnier death, okay, than Herman Cain.
Okay.
Who tweeted out about how we're going to have this rally for Trump for the election and fuck you, we're not wearing masks, blah, 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 gets out at a rally, gets COVID and dies.
Yeah.
Deservedly so.
Well, and also another thing that we tend to forget is Donald Trump himself came very close.
Close to dying.
And it wasn't revealed at the time. Although people suspected at the time, it wasn't revealed in any sort of reliable way until years later, just how close he was when they had to take him to Johns Hopkins and he was at Johns Hopkins with COVID for a while.
Oh, damn it. We came this close, Sam. This fucking close, man. I mean, we've come this fucking close more than once. Son of a bitch somehow figures out how to fucking...
Anyway, unreal. Fauci gets a bum rap. Fauci did exactly what he should have at this hearing. You know, there are absolutely things that you could, especially in hindsight, you know, backseat drive what Fauci did during the pandemic. But for the most part, the honest story here is here's a public servant doing his damn best with limited information and with superiors in the administration who are trying to undermine him at every step. And he did the best he could.
They didn't just try. They succeeded.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just tried. They actually succeeded in undermining him.
And by the way, just to throw it out there too, this was the end of a very long career. He also did some very significant things during the battle against AIDS decades earlier. You know, he deserves awards, not this kind of treatment. I believe Biden did give him an award of some sort, but
Biden did, yes.
Yeah, but anyway,
he doesn't deserve any of this fucking bullshit from damn Ron Paul, but you know,
Rand,
which always keeps reminding me why the, you know, it always seems like so justified why his neighbor basically beat the shit out of him.
I don't remember the details of that. There was some other beef going on between the two of them, I believe.
Yeah, but like, you know what? Given how his demeanor is, I'm not surprised.
I hear you, but yeah, just to be fair here, I mean,
they did send the guy to jail.
They sent the guy to jail. It was a significant beating. Rand Paul was in the hospital. He had significant health issues coming out of this.
Yeah, but my point is that I can understand somebody would be motivated to do so.
You can understand, but you're not advocating. He should not have beat up Rand
Paul. No,
Rand
I'm not
Paul.
Saying that he, you know, somebody should go and find him and beat up. I'm just saying that I understand how somebody that lived right beside him, and I understood it was some dispute about, you know, like that, where their property line ended, something, blah, blah, blah. But I could see how this guy could get under your skin to a point that you lose it and basically almost, you know.
Okay. Let's take a break. And then one more thing for you, one more thing for me, and then wrap it up. Sound good?
Yep.
Sound good. Sound good. Okay. Break number 6. Yabba.
Yabba dabba doo.
Okie dokie. Here comes.
It is just my internet being stupid.
My internet is being stupid. Is a new song we will make.
I'm tired. What's wrong? I'm really tired.
It's amazing.
To get the show on the road.
There's a road? There's a road? Oh my God, there's a road.
Okay, Mr. Bo Diaz, what is your next? Yeah, wait, now that you've changed this at work, we have to identify you that way here forever too, right?
That's fine. I probably should get used to it anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, what's your next pick?
Are we gonna have a? Is Todd Blanche's nomination dead?
So let's give the background on this first. I probably, but it may not matter. Okay, the background is the reason this is even a question is specifically that two Republican senators publicly, and reportedly even more privately, were really upset about that 1776 fund for people who were harmed by the weaponization of the Justice Department under Biden. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, this was clearly intended to give a bunch of money to a bunch of the January 6th people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. This was part of a quote-unquote settlement of a lawsuit Donald Trump made against the Department of Justice, which included two things. One was this settlement fund, and two was a guarantee that Donald Trump, his family, his businesses, etc., would not be audited by the IRS ever, essentially, for anything that happened before some certain date, okay?
Hey, Sam, let me ask a question about that. Is that wrong? I mean, is that normal? Is that what presidents do?
Oh, yes, all the time. So.
Oh, I mean, now, Clinton has this, right? And so
now a judge has already ruled that this settlement was improper. Well, the lawsuit that led up to the settlement was also improper because Donald Trump was both sides. You know, it was Donald Trump as a private individual suing the government that he is a head of, where he could tell them what to do. Okay. But meanwhile, there is a contract. The settlement takes the form of an actual contract that says DOJ will do certain things, etc. Now, this guy, what's his name again? I blanked on
it. Todd Blanch. Was his personal attorney in this fucking thing?
He was originally the personal attorney. Most recently, he is acting attorney general after Trump got rid of the last one. And
who, by the way, what gender was that person that got rid of?
She was female.
Wow. So shocking.
Yes. Anyway, Blanch has been going around Congress and everybody, the press, everyone saying, it's dead. Don't worry about it. It's dead. Because it got so much pushback, even amongst Republicans, that this is bullshit. You know, with the specifically the settlement fund.
It is one of the most flagrant, insane ploys I have ever seen a president do. And the reality is that he's probably not done yet at trying even worse.
Well, I'm sure he's not. And the settlement fund has gotten the most attention, but frankly, the immunity from audits is also pretty significant. Audits and prosecution based on, because you know, he's got tax fraud way up over his head.
Donnie?
Blanche has been going around talking about, it's dead. We've heard your objections. It's dead. Then people start asking, well, can you provide this in writing? Okay. And he's been like, no, you have my word. That's all you need. You have my word. It is dead. It is not going to happen. And then people pointed out, by the way, look, it's a legally enforceable contract. You can say it's dead all you want, but the other side, which is Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump, Ivanka, the Trump Organization, any one of those could take you to court for violating your agreement because it's a signed written contract.
Yep. Well.
Now, that may not succeed because of the reasons we talked about earlier, but they could potentially do that. So, you know, I think even the people who are asking for Blanche to put it in writing are not going far enough. They actually, to properly do this, they need to revise that settlement contract by the terms specified in the settlement contract, which say that all parties have to agree to any change in writing. Not just Blanche putting out some statement in writing, but a proper annulment of the settlement that was reached previously. And then something from Blanche on top of that saying that he's not going to do that, that he's not going to do a new settlement that's similar. Now, and they're also, by the way, they're talking about, even without this settlement fund, there are ways for the DOJ to give the January 6 people money without this. So they're asking for something in writing that won't happen either. But none of that is happening, almost clearly because Donald Trump himself still wants this to happen.
Right. He is still pushing for it to happen somehow.
He's still pushing for this to happen. Even in the hours leading up to us recording, he was posting more about how it's ridiculous and they need to do this and it should still happen and blah, blah, blah. And so, of course, you don't have a guarantee that this isn't going to happen from Todd Blanch, because Donald Trump still clearly wants it. The reason he's not giving it in writing is so that at some unspecified point in the future, they can easily just change their mind and say, oh, we're doing it anyway.
Yep.
Now, because we've got these two Republican senators on the critical committee that would approve this to go on to the full Senate against it, they don't have the votes for the nomination right now. And Donald Trump, while he has not officially withdrawn the nomination yet, he has said if it looks like they're not going to get this, he will withdraw the nomination and bring it back once those senators are gone. Of course, here's the thing. First of all, those two senators have made it pretty clear that they're the ones that are saying this publicly, but there are more senators who object that are just keeping their heads down at the moment. But also, who knows who their replacements will be, you know, and what this will look like in January. There's no guarantee it would look any better for Donald Trump. So the other thing that Donald Trump and his folks have been talking about is, well, we don't need it anyway. The statute's about acting officials. Let them go approximately 200 days, maybe a little bit more. We can appoint an acting for 200 days, then appoint a new acting for 200 days, and then a new acting for 200 days after that. And, you know, we don't ever have to submit anyone to the Senate ever again.
And he's done that before. I think he had an issue. If I recall, this wound up happening in his first term, where there were certain nominations that near the end of his term where basically everybody just wound up being, all these jobs wound up being filled by acting people because none of them would get a Senate confirmation.
Well, yeah, and this was close to the end of his term, and some of them were even after he lost, which, you know, put a different dynamic on it. But yeah, no, this is when he discovered the whole acting thing. And this second term, he's been using it a lot more. He's still, but not exclusively. I mean, we've got right now we've got three actings. I'm looking at his current cabinet. We've got Todd Blanche, who we've been talking about as acting attorney general. We've got Keith Sonderling, as the Secretary of Labor, is an acting. And we've got Jay Clayton at the Director of National Intelligence, which also some interesting stuff is going on there too right now at this moment. But, you know, and in lower sub-cabinet positions, he's been doing this more and more. He's been using it for some of the prosecutors in various levels as well. And he's been doing the thing where there's a law apparently that this just hit this week too, where if there's a certain situation in which other judges can appoint a replacement if there has been an acting too long as opposed to a proper one. And one of those happened lately, and the judges appointed somebody. This has happened once or twice now. And then Trump fired them.
Right.
They fire him the same day and appoint a new acting, you know? So he's learned this works. And this, frankly, shows a hole in, like, the reason we have acting roles for these things is that they are determined that, you know, hey, many of these are really important. You want to always have someone in the slot. If someone resigns or dies or whatever, you don't want a gap while you're waiting for an official nomination and the Senate to do its thing, because that can be somewhat slow sometimes. So you want somebody in the spot right away. But it was intended to bridge short gaps. It was not intended to be a method to completely get around the Senate. But it's quickly evolving into that and points at needs for reform once we have, you know, Congress and president who are willing to look at reforms. But right now, we're certainly not there. So Blanche, regardless, he's going to be acting attorney general for a long time, even if his nomination is pulled. And we certainly, let me be honest, if we end up with a Democratic Senate, we may have nothing but actings for 2 years. depending on how disciplined the Democrats will be. Like, they've shown themselves not to be that disciplined. And, you know, Fetterman's always going to approve them. There's talk that Fetterman may actually officially switch parties, you know, so who the hell knows? Like, but like, there are always a few Democrats willing to go along with nominations.
To be fair, one thing, and I don't have confirmation of this, but I did post this on the Slack, was that Kamala Harris was basically the people coming into the future elections are finally to the level that I would have liked that they had been like a couple of years ago, where it said Kamala Harris calls for revisiting Electoral College, expanding the Supreme Court, and granting statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Which, whomever is coming in right now, you have to come in with this. You have to be.
I was saying the day Biden won that they had to come in with this agenda, and they didn't.
Look, I will say that at that point, I disagreed with you.
Yeah.
Because I was very much on thinking that Biden's approach might work. I really favored that in some way. But the reality is, as time went by, I discovered that was wrong.
Yeah. Well, and they didn't have the votes to do it anyway.
They didn't have the votes either, but...
Anyway, I mentioned the DNI one, so I should mention it. The replacement for DNI has been approved by the Senate as of a few days ago. What's his name? What's the new guy? The temporary guy... Jay Clayton is the new one that was up, right? There's that other guy in between. Okay, now I'm going to have to freaking look it up. Director of National Intelligence. Who was the interim? They've got him listed as assumed office. Okay, here we go. I know Jay Clayton is the new one. He's not an acting. Sorry, he is the new one. He was approved by the Senate on July 28th, officially. However, he has not yet been sworn in. And they apparently appear not to be in a hurry to do so.
Because?
Because the interim guy, I do have to look up his stupid name. It makes no sense if I don't. List of people. Bill Pulte was the acting.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
From June 19th to the present. He had no intelligence experience whatsoever. His primary purpose was to
No intelligence experience.
Probably no intelligence either. But the primary mission he was given by Donald Trump was to find evidence that the 2020 election was stolen by foreign entities, thus the DNI stuff, right?
How did that go?
Well, he's not done yet. That's why he hasn't left, apparently.
Oh, he's trying to complete his mission.
So apparently there was a cabinet meeting yesterday at Camp David, by the way. We know how Donald Trump hates Camp David, but the cabinet meeting was at Camp David. And both Pulte and Clayton attended the meeting, but they made clear that Pulte was still acting. Clayton had not been sworn in yet, and they have not given a date that he will be. Now, it may well be that by the time people listen to this episode, they will have sworn him in. They could do it today, they could do it tomorrow, they could do it Monday, whatever. But they're delaying for seemingly weird reasons, because the speculation, I shouldn't state it as fact. The speculation is because Pulte hasn't finished doing his job yet, because that first presentation on 2020 kind of fell flat. And so it didn't convince anybody, didn't provide anything that could be used to charge anybody.
No.
And so maybe he's still looking. He's going to find the real killer.
Yeah. 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 He's working with OJ's estate as well.
Yes. Okay. That's all I got to say. Should I pick one last thing?
All right.
Wrap?
I need to wrap because it's Manu's birthday.
Happy birthday. How old is he now?
14.
14.
He did just complete his first family workout. I'll send a picture of that.
Okay.
We all went to the slot. That was why we were, that's why we were running a little bit late. We actually all worked out together.
Very nice. Oh God.
Well, I'll say it that I, well, I actually, look, I did a full workout and then I stayed and worked out more to help Manu work out as well. So I did a stupid, ridiculously long.
You know the horrible thing about you saying Manu's turning 14?
Fuck. Yeah.
It means this one here is about to turn 17.
Fuck me. Fuck Christ. Fuck this shit.
Yeah. I know.
I know why Danny Glover said he was too old for this shit in that movie. Fuck.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Let's wrap this sucker up then.
Yeah.
Okay. curmudgeon-corner.com. Go there, find all the stuff. Find all our old episodes, transcripts, all the ways to contact us. And of course, a link to our Patreon where you can give us money at various levels. We'll mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We'll send you a postcard. We will send you a mug. All that kind of stuff. And yeah, we'll do stuff and stuff and stuff. And at $2 a month, $2 a month or more on the Patreon, or if you just ask us and we feel like it, we will invite you to Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of others are chatting throughout the week, sharing links, doing all kinds of fun stuff. I mentioned MapTap earlier. Several, Ed and Yvonne and Pete have been specifically playing lots of MapTap, which is where they give you clues about a place on the planet.
Yeah, you get with a fucking program.
Yeah. I hardly, every once in a while, I'll jump in with a Wordle or one of the other games.
Once a month or something,
I'll jump in with
exactly.
One. Exactly. You know, but I'm not doing the daily games. I just don't have, I don't have the routine deeply embedded enough. You know,
I noticed.
Anyway, but MapTap, you pick places on a globe. It's an unlabeled globe, and it asks you, for instance, where is Ouagadougou? And you have to, like, put the little pin in Ouagadougou.
Right on where the fuck it is.
And you get more points the closer you are to the actual spot. Anyway, they've been playing that a lot. You get all this kind of stuff. So, Yvonne, what is something from the last week of the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that would make people really desperately want to join the Slack or come back in if they haven't been for a while?
Well, I shared a couple. One thing is that I shared a picture of the fact that I packed this week in a rush in the middle of my trip. And I went and I grabbed a tube of toothpaste. I had these little travel tubes of toothpaste, these little tiny ones. And I didn't realize it until I put the toothpaste on the toothbrush that I grabbed some bubblegum flavored toothpaste that's meant for kids. And
very nice.
Oh God. I cannot explain how much I hate that.
So you do not like the flavor of bubblegum, especially as a toothpaste?
Not as when I brush my teeth, I want it to be minty fresh.
You know, I grew up on mint, and I have not been able to get used to any other flavor. Like, even when you go to the dentist and they offer you, like, do you want mint? Do you want cherry? Do you want this?
Yeah, and I'm like, no, mint. I want minty fresh and bubble gum. Fuck. I was like, what the fuck? Somehow, my hotel, for some reason, even though I didn't ask, they actually had left a little like kit with like a shaving kit and a toothbrush and whatever. So I was like, oh, thank God.
So you, mint. You got some mint toothpaste.
I did get some mint. So that's one thing that happened. The other thing was that I really think that I think the billionaires now have reached a stage where they are just trying to get everyone else to actively basically just go and like go French Revolution on them. I mean I cannot explain anything else when I see that there's this moron called Tobias Lutke
co-founder and chief executive officer of Shopify.
Okay.
Who spoke at during the Toronto Tech Week, a homecoming event in Toronto, told his social media followers this week that a tax-tiered voting system, one that would strip voting rights from anyone who pays no income tax, would be a good system.
Why don't we just skip entirely and you vote by paying? And the more you pay, the more votes you
pay, the more votes you have.
Yeah. Right.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't we just go straight to that? Why not? I think these guys are they living in so much of a bubble that they think that they're just completely, you know, absolutely shielded from the repercussions from saying any of this shit? Because look, we've had this happen in the past. The early 1920s, okay, and 30s were a big backlash to a lot of shit like this. And I know nobody remembers history, but that's the reality of what happened.
Donald Trump keeps wanting, it has made it absolutely clear that when America was great, that he wants to go back to with Make America Great Again, was the Gilded Age of the late 1800s. And so
that's the one that he thinks with the robber barons.
With the robber barons.
And the crony capitalism.
So given that, if you replay history a couple decades forward from the Gilded Age,
we should have the backlash. We need the backlash. And it needs to be brutal. because I'm fucking done with these assholes.
Yeah. I mean, and look, the more we see these people in public, by the way, the more you can tell it really does rot something about their brains. The fact
there are very few that get that wealthy and to remain sane.
Right. Because fundamentally you've got, and this is the old power corrupts thing too. It's true of wealth as well. I mean, it's fundamentally, if you can basically get everything you want without pushback all the time, and you end up surrounded by yes men who are constantly telling you how brilliant you are, and everybody surrounding you has an agenda because, you know, they're all wanting something out of you, you know, one way or another, you know, because
any time that I got into an executive role, were like all these people that started coming up to me and kissing my ass, it really repulsed the hell out of me.
Well, and
it's one of those things that I'm just like,
well,
all of you.
Look, there are two ways it can go, right? One is you enjoy them kissing your ass so much that you just start assuming that you deserve it and you actually are right about everything and you're amazing. The other, if you start, you know, your reaction, like, oh, I'm disgusted by this, you start generalizing that disgust to, well, everybody's like this, you know? And
there's a third. I mean, I just realized that what I had to do was to tell people, listen, stop kissing my ass.
Well,
we are working here. I'm sorry. I'm not a genius that knows everything. Stop kissing my ass. And that actually worked.
It does. I would say, the higher up in this strata you go, the harder it is for that to succeed, and the harder it apparently is for these people to do that.
No, I realize that, and I realize that one of the things is that
this is what you were saying about Joe Biden as well, right? I mean, he was president he still wanted to maintain that like interaction with regular people. He enjoyed that. I mean, he was in the Senate for 30 years or 40, 50, however many centuries he was in the damn Senate. And he still took Amtrak until the day he became vice president. You know,
he still takes Amtrak now.
Well, he takes Amtrak again now. Yes. And flies, you know, on regular planes, flies commercial planes, all of this kind of stuff.
I'm sure that there are plenty of donors that would go and like offer Joe Biden a fucking private jet ride.
Yes.
I'm 100% sure.
I'm sure he could as well. And he still, you know, goes up to the little ice cream stand in Delaware and has his ice cream and blah, 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 hangs out with the people, you know. Jimmy Carter was teaching Sunday school until he physically couldn't anymore. sometime in his 90s.
I really enjoy. There's one joy I get in life is seeing when they post new pictures of seeing Joe Biden eating his ice cream. Damn it, I really like that because he genuinely looks happy.
But yes.
And I love that.
But anyway, like it is clearly whatever portion of the billionaire class who is able to not do that. I don't know.
Or power class.
Is Buffett better? Like he's, you know.
Buffett was way better. Oh, listen, Buffett was one that went up and gave a speech specifically saying how it was nuts that he was paying less taxes than his assistant. Literally, and said, raise my damn taxes. Literally, I mean, fucking went up and said so.
Just to be clear, you said was. He is still alive. He's 95.
Oh, yeah. No. But, well, I said was. He's no longer the head of Berkshire Hathaway. No. That's the reason why I was saying it. Not because he's dead. Sorry about that. Yeah, I keep thinking, yeah, because he's retired, okay, from work. But he said this. He lives in the same damn house that he lived in fucking whatever, you know. I mean,
but clearly it is the minority. Like, well,
it is the vast minority.
Although I will say, if you look at the list of like the top 100 richest people or something, there are some that live the celebrity billionaire life and there's some that you never hear from, you know?
Right.
You know, I saw something recently about like whoever's the heir to the Walmart fortune.
Not a Waltons, yeah.
Like, never heard from them. But you never hear from them. There's really. There's four of them, but the one woman who's the most prominent.
And lives in some town
in Arkansas, fairly modestly, goes about her day, is not surrounded by a retinue. Like, the thing I saw recently was someone was doing a random TikTok video in the town and interviewing random people and ended up interviewing her having no freaking idea who it was and then only found out later. You know, anyway.
Most of these people are just...
I mean,
just,
like, I you know, no, my it, old it, company, it, it, it just, Bezos... Like, you could see the difference over the 20 years I was at the company.
Oh, my God, how he has changed. Good Lord.
Yeah. I mean...
It is.
And there was one particular moment where it seemed like it snapped, where all of a sudden he showed up on TV, and he was buff, and he'd done this stuff to his... how he was dressed and all this stuff, and it looked like, wait a second, something just changed here. You just... Did you have some sort of little mental break here? What's going on? And then he cheated on his wife, and then he did this, and then he did that, and then and it's like, I mean, he may have been doing that stuff before, who knows, but it all became public. And he clearly, like, started relishing
He's
in the,
clearly
I'm
clearly had
a I'm
fucking,
a
like, midlife crisis, that's
yes.
for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we done?
Anyway,
we're done.
Yes, we're done. We're done.
Okay. And if any of those people, by the way, want to challenge me with whether I can handle the money without turning into an asshole, please, yeah, just drop a few billion. I'm happy to take that challenge. You know, I'll do my best to retain my mental health in that scenario. You too? You too, Yvonne? Will you?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Stay safe. Blah, 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 blah. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you, Yvonne. I'm out of here. Gonna do signs again last time before the primary. Bye.
Okay, all right. Bye.